I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Allison DePoli with Altique Consulting. Allison is also the host of Raising the Bar podcast. It's designed to help CEOs and executive teams learn and leverage what their peers are doing successfully into their own businesses. Allison is the daughter and granddaughter of entrepreneurs, manufacturers, car and heavy equipment dealers, and insurance, and she's had a front row seat in what it takes to run a business and manage risk. She routinely advises employers on controlling their healthcare budgets and turning their benefit plans into recruiting and retention magnets. Now, Allison is one of a series of guests that I've invited on because I believe my front row seat, my $2 million trip through the hospital showed me how incredibly broken things are. And healthcare is a double-digit year-on-year increasing budget item for so many employers. And there are people out there that are changing that curve. You don't need to feel hopeless. And Allison is one of those people. Allison, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be in such good company.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, you were telling me a story about your dad had an employee that contacted them, and your dad done something that he probably didn't remember, but it meant the world to them.
Did he? So my father was also in the health insurance business. It's where I cut my teeth on self-funding plans. And he sent me a screenshot of a Facebook message he had received from somebody that used to work for him probably in the late 60s or the early 70s. So a very long time ago. And it said, "Mr. Cohen," nobody ever called my father Mr. Cohen, "Mr. Cohen, I just wanted to thank you. I don't think I thanked you properly at the time. When I was young and newly married and working for you, we couldn't afford the $250 deductible to have our first child, and you paid that for us." And my father did, in fact, not remember this, but he was delighted that somebody else did. And what it brought home to me is that there are a lot of employers that do extraordinary things for their team. For people that work for them, they try to do the best they can and they try to take care of them as best they can. And in the health insurance arena, most of them are not. And by adjusting their health plans just a little bit, they can do things like offer 100% coverage if you go to a high quality provider, make it much easier for you to get to the doctor so that you can get small things taken care of before they become big things. Or when big things are identified, they can be diagnosed early so that they are less expensive to treat with better outcome for the human involved, or pay less for medications or whatever it is. And, you know, when my dad did that, you know, that was a very long time ago, and health insurance was still almost a new kind of thing. And now every employer that offers a health insurance plan has a healthcare division. I mean, healthcare, the Milliman average is about $15,000 a year per employee. And I would tell you that in Texas, that's probably closer to 10 or 12. But at $10,000 or $12,000 a year per employee, that's a division and it should be managed properly.
Yeah. Well, the thing, I buy my own health insurance, and the thing that I've been running into is I have double-digit year-on-year increases. Mm-hmm. And it just, I'm like, except for one brief period of time, I'm pretty healthy. I never use it. And I'm about to go through a rate increase next month here in 2 weeks. And it's going to go up another 23%.
So 23% is a pretty significant number. And, you know, if you have 100 employees and your budget increases 23%, that's not sustainable.
No.
And we've seen quite a lot of it. We saw the increases kind of level out for a while, but we're seeing this year 24, 37, 32. We had somebody with a 64. It's the beast is hungry, is the best way I know to describe that, because it's certainly not going to patient care.
So when you refer to the beast, what's the beast?
I think the beast is the system. And I hear a lot of conversation about how the system is broken. The system is not broken. The system is working very well for the people that it's working for. Unfortunately, those people are not patients, doctors, or employers. There's too many middlemen. There's too many entities taking a little piece, a little piece, a little piece, a little piece. And ultimately, that many little pieces is a big piece. And the mathematical shenanigans that we see are completely and utterly astounding. And you know, it's one thing if you know what you're spending your money on, but 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, an employer doesn't understand what things cost, why they cost, and how to not make it cost that much. The only thing that they know to do or being told that to do is to pass the increase on to their employees. We just installed a new client, and they have, over the last 3 years, had a 25, a 40, and a 24% rate increase. And this past year, the broker advised the employer to pass 100% of that 24% onto the employee, and he said, absolutely not, but didn't know what else to do. Right. So what the traditional advice is, increase your out-of-pocket costs, your co-pays, your deductible, your maximum out-of-pocket, or increase your premium contribution. I would argue, and pretty successfully, that if you review your contracting and you make sure that your vendors are responsible to you, the employer, your costs will drop 20 or 30% and stay there. Because you control everything and you understand where the money is going and what it's paying for.
Okay, so that's a little bit confusing to me. Help me work through this, because in my mind, I'm just going off and I'm buying insurance, but you're talking about there being different vendors. And so break this down for me.
Sure. So every insurance contract, fully insured, self-insured, level funded, doesn't matter. Every insurance contract has a third-party administrator. At their core, that is all that Blue Cross, United, Cigna, Aetna, Humana at one time, that is all they are, is third-party administrators. They process claims, they answer the phone. There is a network. Yes, those big entities have their own network, but almost all of them rent the network out to private employers if they wish. There is stop-loss insurance. An insurance company is not taking 100% of your risk. They are passing some of that risk off, sometimes 2 and 3 times. Then there is a pharmacy benefit manager. And I know a lot more people than used to know what a pharmacy benefit manager is. Pharmacy benefit manager started to help an employer or an insurance company manage drug costs and manage payment. Well, now there are about 53 buckets of revenue that they take, and that adds to your cost. And sometimes other people benefit from that. And let me give you an example. If I am fully insured, then my insurance company probably owns my PBM, or the PBM owns the insurance company.
And
And then the
PBM's
rebate,
pharmacy
the
benefiter.
benefit manager, and then the rebates go to the insurance company. But the employer pays the bill. right? So that's probably 40% of the cost of a drug will be rebated. Well, don't you want that to come back to you? You don't want that to go back to somebody else, right? So you change the contracting. You choose medical management that will help guide to the highest quality care because there is no good price for bad care. So that's what I'm talking about, is repurpose those pieces and make them work for an employer rather than against an employer.
That seems like a lot of work. And I'm thinking about all these employers. It's a competitive world. They're busy running their businesses.
Yes. So I would argue that every employer has a health insurance division, if they like it or not. And it is their responsibility to manage it. It is not necessarily their responsibility to execute it. So I am not the only person in the country that does what I do. You've had a number of very effective consultants on your program. And what we do is unbundle that and repackage it for you.
Okay. Now there's this term called fiduciary. What is that, and how's that all fit into this?
So every employer, if they like it or not, has fiduciary responsibility to their employees if they accept employee dollars into their health plan. Now, what that means in reality is that for many years there were no teeth to that, right? You could say the employer had fiduciary responsibility, but if the plan was fully insured or it was with a large carrier, they weren't going to get their data. They weren't going to understand what they were paying for. They were just paying this premium dollar, right? The Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2020 gave the employer teeth to understand what is going on in their plan. Those regulations were based on what happened in the 401k industry about 10 years ago. And I think most people are familiar with that, where there were a lot of excess fees and employees were not getting the growth that they should because it was being eaten up by fees and employers didn't necessarily have access. And then the federal government said, you all are going to get access. And if you have egregious fees, then you need to correct that. And there were a lot of class action lawsuits. There are still a lot of class action lawsuits against 401k plans that don't have a proper fee structure. The regulations that now apply to a health and welfare plan were based on those. And basically, what they say is that if you're taking employee money, you must use those dollars effectively and fiscally responsibly. So you need to know what you're buying and you need to know what you're paying for. Now, most insurance companies have made that very difficult. They still don't make it all that easy, but it's getting better. So you can see if you're paying the right price for services and you can see what your increases are and you can have a little bit more visibility into what's going on in the plan. For our clients, they can see everything. They can see what claims, what's billed, what's paid, why it's paid that way, what they're paying for drugs. They're seeing all their third-party revenue come back and you can pair it all together. And that's what you want to be able to do. An employer can't do that on their own. That's why you have a consultant and or a broker. They should be putting that together for you. And then you should, at this in 2025, if you are an employer with more than 50 employees, you should have a fiduciary committee that sets standards for your plan so that your HR team who manages this or oversees it can meet those obligations. It's not nearly as terrible as it sounds.
So one of the things that you've said, I don't think I've heard this before. Is that you have a fiduciary duty if your employees pay into the plan. Now, if you have a plan, if you have a plan that you fund, do you still have the fiduciary responsibility?
If you are not accepting any employee dollars into the plan, then your fiduciary obligation is much lower. However, I know of one employer that offers 100% care for the employee coverage for the employee and the dependents, and does not charge any premium dollars, right? So that's both sides. One employer. If you have co-pays, if you have deductibles, if you have a premium contribution, you are accepting employee dollars into your plan.
Okay. So pretty much it's hard to avoid that.
It is very hard to avoid that.
Yeah. Now, I remember a number of years ago, I'm susceptible to what's called Chalazions. It's where you get a little bump in your eyelid. And the treatment for it's pretty simple. They just peel back your eyelid, lancet, and drain it. But because I'm on a high deductible plan, I knew I wouldn't hit my deductible for this simple Chalazion. I started calling around. I called one place and they're like, "Well, you have to come in for an evaluation and then we'll do it." I'm like, "Let's just knock it out in one visit." And they're like, "Oh, no." And I was like, "How much is it going to be?" And they said $350. I called someone else, got this incredible runaround, never got a hard number from them. It was more complicated. My listening to what they said, I was like, I think I'm gonna end up spending $800 here. And then I called someone else, and again, they said, "Well, we want you to come in for an evaluation." And then I'm like, "Come on, it's a Chalazion. You're gonna see it. You're gonna say, lay back, let's lance it." And they finally said, "Tell you what, okay, we'll do all this in one visit. We'll charge you $240. That's going to, and that will include a follow-up visit." I was with the nurse for 30 minutes. I was with the surgeon for about 45 minutes. And then I had a follow-up visit with the surgeon, all for $240. And the care, I didn't see any rusty scalpels laying around. It seemed like good quality care. What was happening there?
So a couple things were happening. Front desk staff are overworked, underpaid, and can never dig out from under the pile that they're in. So when you throw something like, "Can I just pay cash?" a lot of front desk staff don't know what to do with that. Right? So then they have to call somebody or go find somebody or get up and go to the billing manager and say, "What do I do with this?" Right? So then they're kind of doing that on the fly. That was some time ago, right? So there are more providers today who understand what cash pay is. I had a similar experience. It was a little less complicated than that. I went to the dermatologist. I've been going to the same dermatologist for years, and I had a plan with copays, and then I had a plan that didn't have a copay. I was in the same boat as you. So I called. I needed to go back to be seen. Said, "Okay." They said, "Do you still have your insurance?" "No, I'm a cash pay patient now." And the very lovely woman on the phone said, "You want to pay cash?" And I said, "Credit card, whatever, I'll pay you at the time of service." And she said, "Hold on, please." And a couple of minutes later, she came back and she said, "Well, apparently an office visit is $85 and you'll have to pay that when you arrive." "Okay. Are you sure?" "Yeah, I'm sure." And so I arrive. They check me in. I said, do you want me to pay you now?" And they're like, "Oh, yes, we would like you to pay us now. Okay, here's my credit card." And then the doctor saw me, and then I left. And the woman said, "Well, you have to check out." And I said, "Okay, but I already paid." She said, "You already paid?" I said, "Yeah, I already paid." "Oh, you're the one." "Yes, I am the one." And they were lovely, but very confused by that. And there are a lot of doctors that are that way. So it's hard to just send somebody into the wild and say, "Go pay cash for a service," right? Like the doctor's staff doesn't know what to do, the member doesn't know what to do. So you need to be a little more artful than that. And you can do that in a number of ways. And it works differently for different employers. You know, maybe zero copay, it may be a small copay, it may be a go to this, everybody goes to the clinic. Maybe we can build you an on-site clinic, which we can do for employers as small as about 400 or 500 people, staff them with a physician, get people everything they need for no charge. It's really wonderful. but
Yeah.
doctors are confused.
You know, I live here in Austin, and if we go all the way back to 2010, obviously there was a lot happening then in healthcare. And John Mackey, the founder of Whole Foods, published a letter in the Wall Street Journal talking about how he had built an army of competitive consumer shoppers of healthcare in Whole Foods, and how he had, I forgot, part-time employees had healthcare. It was something wonderful, and the employees loved it. But all these people were off doing competitive shopping, and they were getting good healthcare at lower prices.
They probably had a little bit of help. You know, that may be some concierge service, or it may be some advocacy service. It may be somebody that helped them get to doctors. Like, I know who the cash pay doctors are. I know who the good cash pay doctors are and who are the not so good cash pay doctors. But it took me a little time to figure that out. So it is a wonderful model. And it is a wonderful way to help people be responsible for their health. You know, we have done such a good job of conflagrating healthcare and health insurance. Those are two very different things. Healthcare is healthcare, right? Get your eye lanced, get your Band-Aid and go home, right? For lack of a better description. And how to pay for that. Health insurance is only a finance mechanism.
Yeah.
Right. So day-to-day care, I hate to say it's commodity care. It's very upsetting to people, but day-to-day care is not what drives those premium increases that you're seeing. What drives those premium increases is big stuff. It's stage three and four cancer diagnoses. It is metabolic syndrome that is not controlled. And you know that is a huge problem in South Texas, right? You know, metabolic syndrome, prediabetes, diabetes, huge problems in South Texas. It's going to bankrupt us all. End stage renal, heart disease that's not caught. We have a client who, God bless these people. They're not big users of care. Their day-to-day claims are very low. And every 9 to 15 months, they have a $300,000 to $500,000 claim because somebody didn't go to the doctor. And now they have diabetes that's out of control. They have lost a toe, then they've lost a foot, then they've lost a leg, and then they die. It's horrible. So, whatever we can do to prevent that, we do. And that means doing something that doesn't make any sense. Which is make it as easy and inexpensive for people to get care right up front so that you don't have that later, because that is what's driving your cost. Let people go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Help them go to the doctor. It takes 21 days on average now to get to the doctor. Now, if you have the flu, either you're recovered or you're dead, right?
Yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I went to the doctor. I spent $150 for them to tell me go home and drink fluids. Which I was dubious about going to the doctor, but because of my history with COVID and I have to admit, I was so sick, it had me a little bit nervous and it had my wife nervous. She was asking me what, you know, she kept asking me, what's your oxygen level? What's your oxygen level? And, but it was just so frustrating. I lose a couple hours out of my day and $150 to be told to drink fluids.
You know, I am a huge fan, and I know you've had some other guests that are quite in my camp, but I am a huge fan of direct primary care and on-site clinics. I think direct primary care is it is direct access to care. And it is a subscription model. So you're paying a fixed fee every month, almost like an insurance premium. And you access the doctor as much as you need to access the doctor. So that means if you need to call them every day, you call them every day. And if you need to call them once a year, they will have called you three times in between to make sure you're alive. And I get regular blood work. In fact, I just got a text message this morning. It's time for your annual physical. We're ordering these tests. This is how much they cost, and you need to be here on this date. Can you imagine a fee-for-service doctor doing that for you?
Yeah, no.
So I know what the tests are. I've added to the tests, actually, and I know what's going to be tested. I go there, I do my blood draw, I have my appointment a few days later. My appointments always take an hour. It makes me crazy, but we go over all of my medications. I do have some bone issues, so we talk about bone issues. And the last time I was there, we had a demonstration of squats because I was having some problem with my hip and my ankle. That's not what you see in 8 minutes with the doctor.
Right.
So that is caring for Allison, the person. And the more that we can do that for people, we lower long-term costs and we get people what they need. And if you don't think that buys you loyalty as an employer, it buys a ton of loyalty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was in the Marines in the late 80s and the early 90s. And, I wasn't married, but it was an absolute calculation for the guys that were. Here's the cost of having a baby in the Marine Corps versus having a baby outside it. And it was the healthcare. And the healthcare wasn't particularly great. It was okay, but it wasn't particularly great, but it was there and it was available.
I think that military healthcare is actually good quality. It is all the attendant things around it that are such a problem, right?
Yeah, so the first, well, actually, the second time I had to have a Schlesien lanced was in the Marine Corps. And they couldn't do it at my base. I was at Cherry Point, North Carolina. I had to go to Lejeune, which was 45 miles or 45 minutes away down country roads.
Yep.
And they just sent me, they're like, oh, yeah, just go down there. And this was before I realized that you needed two eyes for depth perception. And
And so you stayed a while?
no, I'm driving down these country roads with one eye. I'm a cyclops coming down these drunk country roads. And I was so exhausted by the time I got back to my barracks. I was like, somebody should have probably told me that.
Well, that's what I mean, right? Like the care was probably fine. It's just everything around it was, well, maybe we should have thought that this person only has one eye while driving, right? Like that just didn't occur to anybody.
Yeah. So.
So, there's no perfect model of healthcare, but helping people access care, making sure that your contracts are correct, and that the vendors have responsibility to the employer, not to each other. And let me give you an example. I've looked at a zillion stop loss ASO agreements. Those are all insurance type of agreements. And I can't tell you how many times I have read a TPA or ASO agreement and a PBM agreement, and the PBM is responsible to the third party administrator. They do what they say, they give them their third party revenue that the employer paid for, and the employer has no idea what they're signing. It is astounding to me. I've looked at contracts where if there is a change of 10% of population in a PBM contract, there was a $350,000 penalty for a 10% change in census population. And the employer had no idea because they're not reading the contracts.
Yeah. And maybe we kind of wrap up on this. My heart breaks for all the employers out there because this is so incredibly complicated. And I'm listening to you, and I know because one, because I know of how we were introduced, but two, I know through my conversation with you that you're different. But I go talk to somebody else who's maybe a broker. And they're like, oh, here's how we take care of people. And I know enough to know they're not doing what you're doing, but you guys are, it sounds like they're using the same words.
We are both a broker and a consultant. So sometimes we just consult and provide strategy for an employer. Those tend to be larger employers. And sometimes we manage the entire process for an employer. And I have a consulting client that I helped them choose a broker because they felt that they needed a large national broker. Okay. So I helped them choose. I helped them draft their RFP and I sat in on the finalist presentations. And I was amazed at my words, all of the things that you've heard me say repeated back, but none of them were executing on that. And I hear it all the time. Well, we're going to lower your costs. We're going to do this. If you're not addressing the cost of care, you cannot lower the cost of health insurance. If you want to control your health insurance budget, you have to figure out a way to manage the day-to-day costs and then have protection for the big stuff. It is a different philosophy. And unless you're doing that, you're not going to reduce costs. You're just going to continue to be on the hamster wheel. And I don't know how to help people understand that any more than to just provide examples of where we've done it.
And it's so critical. It's so critical. I mean, I look at how I've done individual purchases and brought down the cost of my health care.
But you took action, right? Like you took action to find the right price. And for a mid-sized employer, they're not going to do that for everybody, nor should they, but their vendors should.
Yeah. And that's something you help with.
Absolutely.
Allison, that is so awesome. Allison, how can people reach you?
So our website is www.altique.com, and I'm also pretty active on LinkedIn. And so you can find me at Allison Cohen DePauly on LinkedIn. And if I can answer any questions or point anybody in the right direction, it would be my pleasure to do so.
Well, thanks for sharing that on Leaders and Legacies.
Thank you for having me.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.